Welcome. There are a lot of visitors, and we want you to feel welcome here this morning. Join us in worship. Welcome to the home congregation. I would invite all of you to worship God this morning with us. Really appreciated that last song that we sang, invoking God's presence and to hear us, to be part of us this morning. And I really feel a need for that, I guess, on a personal level. Just by way of information for our local people, John and Esther are in Wisconsin this morning. I believe Esther had an assignment to speak at a ladies' retreat on Friday, and then John, I think, is preaching at the church there locally this morning. And Brother Collier left on Thursday for Thailand, so that's where he's at currently. That leaves Manson and myself here this morning, and we're okay with that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, this morning we are aware and we somewhat tremble at the fact that we are in so much need of you. And I just pray your presence here among us this morning as we look into your word. And first of all, you would guide me. You would guide my lips. You would guard my heart. My spirit, my attitude would be in subjection to you and your spirit. And I pray for all of these people, your children, that are here today, that you would do the same for them. And that together we could learn, together we could grow from what we learn today. Thank you so much for your truth that is in your word, that has already spoken to me. And I pray that you continue to do that. Be faithful to us this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. For a bit of an opening, I would invite you to turn to James chapter 1. And as a way of maybe including or cluing in our visitors, I've been doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so we've been hitting those on the Sunday mornings that I preach. And that's found in Galatians chapter 5. And we've gone through a number of those. And this morning, the one that we are ready for and that we'll be preaching on this morning is patience. In the King James Version, the word that they use is long-suffering. And in the Greek New Testament, it is used interchangeably, but the Greek word for patience and long-suffering is used for both patience and long-suffering, the Greek word. So in the message this morning, I will be using the word patience as a reference to the old English term and the term used in the King James Version of long-suffering. And I was thinking about patience and being fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, so on and so forth. And I think I began to realize, and what I'm I think I knew this, but it just didn't sink in that patience is not something that is automatic. And I think all of us, whether you're a fairly easygoing person and laid back, or whether you're pretty high strung and lack patience on a regular basis like me, I think we would all come to the place where we would understand and agree that patience is not something that we are naturally born with. Some of us handle situations and people that are trying better than some of us others. But patience is not a virtue that we're born with. Children, young children, display that very quickly and very soon after they are born. And so I was thinking about that and wondering, what does patience have to do with me being a Christian? And why would patience be listed in the list of fruit of the Spirit as part of being born again? How does that play out in my life? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It all started back in the 1930s. When there was an official patent given to instant coffee. From there we have instant mashed potatoes, instant breath taken away by all sorts of toothpaste, and instant cash, and instant everything. Everything is instant today. We have high-speed internet. We can't live without high-speed internet, right? Tempers flare. Patience goes out the window when internet is slow. I know. We have a life in Western culture that is instant and must be perfect, or we're not happy. We have come to believe that unless it is that way, and if it isn't that way, we must throw a fit. And we must do something to get it back into that position or that place of perfect instantaneous gratification, or else we can't live. That kind of mentality has developed into a entitlement way of living. I'm entitled to the way I live. I deserve what I have because I'm just me. That's why I want everything instantly and perfectly so. It's just who I am, and I deserve it that way. Now, in the Christian world, and here today, probably this morning, we as Christians understand that that is probably not altogether the way you and I live. However, I would venture to say that if we're really honest with ourselves, if I'm really honest with me, that it's more that way than I care to admit. That I tend to be that way more than I care to admit. And patience is not something I do well with. So the question this morning is, what about you? What about you? Where are you at with being patient and long-suffering? Are you caught up in this life that we know of instant gratification, instant everything? We can have instant cash. You can have instant relief of any number of ailments that are plaguing you. And now it's even Cure Eggs. You know, forget the instant coffee where you have to stir. You just plug the cup in and press it down and put your mug underneath, and now you have coffee within 2 minutes. So what about you this morning? When you look at yourself, you find your patience running thin. How often during the day does your patience run thin? And let's remind ourselves that Scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that patience, long-suffering, patience, endurance, those are words we use to talk about what we're talking about this morning, is the fruit of the Spirit. That means, brothers and sisters, friends this morning, that if I'm a Christian, then that fruit of patience ought to be very evident in my life. And I'm afraid, for myself, and maybe I'm speaking for you out of turn, but I'm assuming that there's at least some of you that deal with the very same thing. That patience quickly disappears under certain circumstances. When the children are no longer controllable, when they decide that they're going to do their own thing, when youth, young adults decide that mom and dad no longer know better, patience and endurance and faithfulness in those times can be very difficult. You find yourself impatient at the slightest deviation from your daily routine, when the day that you've planned, perfectly planned, and it's clicking right along, and all of a sudden there is something that happens and you no longer are doing that day the way you planned. When things go wrong, do you blow gaskets, both seen and unseen? And how does it affect other people around you? We live in an impatient society. We are part of the society that we live in. And yet we are born again. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is patience or long-suffering. And so I am including myself in this morning. I think as I studied and I read and I prayed, I was just very much aware that patience is not something that I do well with. And so, if nobody else, it is for me this morning. The Spirit Fruit of Patience, that's the title of my message this morning. I would like to, in the course of this message, help us understand what this fruit looks like in the life of the believer, in the saints here this morning, what it looks like in your life. And then I would like to, before we go into that, I would like to help us understand that impatience is really what we need to look at and help us understand why patience is so important. So we're going to look at the opposites of patience. We're going to look at impatience first, and then we're going to look at an invitation to become patient people, long-suffering people, and what that looks like demonstrated in your life, lived out according to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'd like to have you turn. Actually, let's go back to James. I wanted to just read this. This is what kind of prompted my thoughts. James chapter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 4. So James chapter 1, this is kind of our springboard for the message. Chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's not divers. That's diverse or different temptations, different things that happen to you. And it's not necessarily temptation. It doesn't mean temptations as in evil temptations coming to you, but trials, struggles, things that come your way because of the world we live in, because of choices that I made, or so on and so forth. He says, don't get all discouraged, but count it joy when those things happen. And he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I want you to highlight that word faith in there, underline it. And then I want to finish with verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here's where we get our thought process for the message today. So we go back to verse 3. It says, knowing this, that these temptations or these trials, these things that you're experiencing, the flat tire today, the rebellious child today, the difficult disease, the handicap, the debilitating things, those are the testing of your faith. So the faith is where we begin at. We're going to dissect that. And then where we end up at is so that patience can have her perfect work in you. That's the thought process. Are you with me this morning? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. And I said we want to look at the opposites of patience. And we're going to look at impatience. And what impatience is, I would like to suggest to you this morning, the opposite of patience is impatience. And the root of impatience is the sin of unbelief. That the trying of your faith, think that through, that the trying of your faith, the trying of your belief and trust in a sovereign, almighty God who is in control of every part of my life, that I have entrusted myself to everything about me. I am His disciple in Christ Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit being evident, and all of a sudden, calamity. Or maybe it's as simple as a long line at the checkout counter, and I go ballistic, and I lose it. Or high-speed internet is bad, and I can't figure out. You see what I'm saying? And so, the trying of your faith, some of those things are very trivial. Some of you here this morning have experienced some tremendous, tremendous trying of your faith. Some of you had sickness for a long time. Some of you have children with handicap, special needs. Some of you have had long-term relationship issues that seem like they will never, ever get better. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's in those times that God is saying, remember, you trusted me with your sins. You trusted me with your life. Will you trust me in this? That as I try your faith, you will become patient in every area of life, a strong, gentle, firm saint that looks forward to these kind of difficulties, knowing that in the end, we'll come out as gold and it'll be all worth it. So the trying of your faith, the opposite of that, brothers and sisters, is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. So the root for impatience, when you become impatient with God, the root is unbelief. And so I want to read an example here in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. It says, woe to the rebellious children. This is Isaiah saying this to Israel. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zion, Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, for a shame and also a reproach. Background on this. Israel was surrounded by enemies. They didn't know where to go. They decided among themselves, without seeking God's counsel and direction, that they would go to Egypt to find help. And so the question for us this morning is, when that happens to you, when the way is difficult, when it becomes enormously impossible to see across the mountain, in your mind, in your spirit, is it easy for you to go ask counsel of this person and this person and this person, to go online and do all sorts of research and whatever all, and you forget that God says, I am the one. I am the one that will direct you. I am the one. Will you trust me with your circumstances? Will you trust me with what's happening in your life? You see, Israel decided that they can decide on their own. They did their own thing. They went to Egypt. And what happened? The Egyptians turned on them. The Egyptians were no help. There was calamity. The root sin was unbelief. They no longer believed God was trustworthy in the situation that they found themselves in. For you and me this morning, whatever situation you find yourself in, or if you find yourself just generally being impatient with your children, with your wife, employees, fellow employees, whatever, someone pulls out in front of you. Will you be impatient and at that moment decide that God is not trustworthy? And the disobedience, the sin of disobedience and lack of faith, the lack of faith in God will bring a curse upon you. It says there is three things that came on them. When God says, when God sees that we no longer put our trust and confidence in Him, He pulls back. And He says, you will experience exactly what you asked for. The same thing happened in the children of Israel when they wanted a king. Their own wisdom and calamity came on them. So unbelief is the sin. Unbelief is the sin. Will you believe God in the moment of your calamity? In the moment of the difficult things that are happening? In the moment of the day not turning out the way you wanted it to turn out? In the moment in the busy, hectic schedule of life? Will you believe God to be sufficient in all those areas? There are two basic things that those of us that really struggle with this happens. There are two ways that we demonstrate this unbelief, this sin of unbelief, this lack of faith and trust in God. Number one, here's the first way that some of you, some, and myself, this is me here. This is how we respond to adversity. Rather than coming before the Lord and seeking His face in those times and asking for His direction, for His grace and His mercy, this is what we tend to do. Number one, we are tempted to simply give up. The pressure is too high. The difficulty is too great. I will no longer invest in this relationship. It is too hard. The person is too difficult. I will just simply throw in the towel, or whatever situation you find yourself in. I will no longer train this child. He is absolutely impossible. I give up. I bail out. I won't stay at this job. After all, my employer is a very impatient man. This marriage is too difficult. It's too hard. I will bail out. That's one way. We just give up. The second way is we become very rash and impulsive. And we try to take the bull by the horns and make this thing happen the way that we want it to happen. Whatever's in our way, we attack it with a vengeance. Verbally, physically, mentally, with attitude. That's the second way that we're tempted to show our unbelief in what God is doing in our life. When we do that, we end up making hasty decisions based on our feelings and our perception and our assumptions. Decisions that often cause havoc later on. We saw it in the example in the children of Israel. They were surrounded. They had no idea what was going to happen. They didn't know what to do. The best plan was go to Egypt. They never once asked God, what do you want us to do? And I would have this feeling that God would have said, just wait. Just wait. And maybe it would have been the same thing that happened when the servant of Elijah, was it Elisha? His eyes were open all of a sudden and he saw the hosts of God. Maybe it would have been something like that. When will I? When will you? When will I quit the sin of unbelief in the situations that you find yourself in, that I find myself in, that seem impossible, that there's no way forward? When will I just simply stand back and say, God, I'm waiting. I cannot. I don't even want to. I want you to move. Will you move on my behalf? And maybe God says, sure. And maybe that movement is more difficulty. And in the patient waiting, we begin to see the hand of God as a gracious, merciful Father leading us and refining us in the fire, saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is you and me. And he says, this is what I want, because in the end of the end, at the end of the end of the day, the treasures, the glories, the beauty of being in eternity with him will never, ever match what you thought was so important here. At the end of the end, will you be faithful in getting on your knees before God in those moments of disappointment, those moments of tremendous difficulty, whatever it is, in the moments of impatience with the children? Will you back off? Maybe I should. I just thought of something yesterday. Impatience with the children. On our back door, there's two signs. One on the outside and on the inside. And they both say the same thing. It is called the 12th commandment in the Bontrager home. Thou shalt not slam the door. That was a result of my impatience, I believe, with the door being slammed not intentionally, over and over, and that door happens to be right outside my study. And so it rattled the window every time. You see how quickly we get impatient, how quickly I get impatient. And threatening all sorts of things, finally putting a sign up, "Thou shalt not slam the door." That's my impatience. I'm just being honest. It's really rather sobering. When will I learn that it's in those times that God is saying, "I'm refining you, I'm asking you to trust me with this"? And so what if the door rattles off the hinges? There's more doors where that came from. But it costs money, God. You see, patience, the fruit of the Spirit, throughout the entirety of our lives, it affects us everywhere. And I'm guilty of the sin of unbelief when I do not come to the Lord, to God the Father, with all of these things that demonstrate my impatience. At the core of my impatience is the sin of unbelief. I believe that God is not in control, He's not trustworthy, and He's not going to do anything about it. I have to be in control. Why is this so important? Here's why it's important. This is the point I want to drive home at the end of this section, and then I'll quickly go into the other one. The point I want to drive home is that your place in eternity hangs on this. Where you spend eternity hangs on how we live a life of surrendered patience and long sufferings to the sovereign God of the universe. And here's where I get my thoughts. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Patience, continuance in well-doing. Patience, continuance. There is eternal life for you and me when we do patience in life and well-doing and endurance. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith," believing, "through faith and patience, inherit the promises." And those promises include eternal life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." In every area and every time when patience is running thin, will I seek God the Father in those times and say, "I need you. I cannot do this. Will you refine me in this time?" I welcome that. You see, eternity hangs on this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience. Impatience is the sin of unbelief. God is not able to do well in the circumstance that I find myself in. The opposite of impatience, this is a quote, "The opposite of impatience is the spirit fruit of patience. This is not a shallow, superficial denial of the pain or frustration that we are experiencing, but rather it is a deep, ripening of peaceful willingness to wait for God to show Himself, and also to persevere in surrender and obedience at the pace that God has allowed. This is not a shallow, superficial denial of the pain or frustration that we are experiencing, but rather it is a deep ripening of peaceful willingness to wait for God to show Himself, and also to persevere in a surrendered obedience at the pace that God has allowed." To sum that up, I would say it is to wait on His pace, or to wait in His place and to go at His pace. That's how I would sum that up. So are you willing this morning to trust God with where you're at in your difficulties today? Maybe it's child training. Maybe it is a sickness. Maybe it is a disease. Maybe it is singleness. Maybe God hasn't provided a partner. Maybe it's depression. I'm not saying that God wants and always wants those things, but will you allow those things to refine you into a patient, long-suffering kind of person that draws others to God? And what does that look like, practically speaking here, real quick here? Wrapping this up. What does it look like to be a patient or long-suffering person? Patience is basically love under pressure. Patience is love under pressure. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn to that. You're very familiar with that. Patience is love under pressure. It is love under pressure in relationships with your fellow men. It is love under pressure when relationships are strained. Patience is love under pressure when people are saying things about you that are very hurtful, very damaging, and you cannot defend yourself, nor will you defend yourself, because you understand that love trumps all things. And why do I say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Charity suffers long. Charity is patient. Love suffers long. So when those things happen to you, what is your response to them? Do you quickly retreat and say, God, I need your help? I'm tempted to respond incorrectly here. Will you patiently wait until the person who is railing on you is done, and then you thank him for it? Or will you rail back, defend yourself? You see, this is what it looks like when we are living by faith through Jesus Christ in God the Father. Patience with people, no matter how unreasonable or difficult they are. Patience does not retaliate, even though you could. Even though you would have every reason, humanly speaking, to retaliate. Patience doesn't retaliate. Patience is willing to wait, to endure in spite of circumstances or people. Are you patient with your enemies? Patience is a quiet hope in God's promises that He will be faithful. Even if you don't experience it here on this earth, in your patience, He says, remember we said eternity hangs on this, you will experience it with Him in glory. Patience is not passive, but rather it is a faithful persistence that yields to the values that are God's values. That's another quote. Patience is redemptive. Are you a redemptive person this morning? Are you redemptive? Do people see you as a person that is safe? When there's issues in your life, when there's issues in their life, they see you as a person who wants to restore and to make things well again. Because patience, the fruit spirit, the spirit fruit of patience, is redemptive in all areas of life. Are you a redemptive kind of person? No one can teach, preach, or help others without being patient. Those that oppose us or need guidance often require great patience. Now that the trying of your faith worketh patience, James says. true Christian patience has an attitude of quiet strength towards difficult circumstances in life. A person who has the fruit of patience will look at events or happenings in his life with hope and trust in God, who promises great things to those who by patient perseverance wait on Him to bring about the desired effects in their lives. They see those things as glorious, as a glorious ending. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning, that the spirit fruit of patience becomes so evident in my life and in your life, that Sandy Ridge becomes that sort of light that shines of patience and endurance, of suffering, of trial. And that only comes as we as individuals, Christians and brothers and sisters here in Sandy Ridge, learn to come in faith, to accept the sovereignty of God the Father in our lives and allow that to burn away the dross, and we become these beautiful vessels that are redemptive to everyone, to our children, to our wives, to each other. You see, you can't really have a growing, vibrant church unless this fruit is very evident in each one of our lives. When I practice patience with my brothers and sisters, it becomes very inviting to be there, to be with them. I enjoy it. They enjoy it. So it is with our families. So it is with our neighbors. So it is with our employees, our fellow employees, wherever you find yourself this morning. In closing, I want to just read an illustration. Of a man that demonstrated much patience in adversity. And I don't know that I could handle this. There's a man by the name of Charles Simeon. Some of you might know this story. He was a pastor in the Church of England from 1782 to 1836. He was at the Trinity Church in Cambridge, and he was appointed to his church by a bishop against the will of the people of that congregation. They opposed him not because he was a bad preacher, but because he was an evangelical. Okay? His doctrinal beliefs were somewhat different than theirs. He was an evangelical. He believed the Bible and called for conversions and holiness and world missions, which was not really prevalent in the Church of England at that time. For 12 years, the people refused to let him give the afternoon Sunday sermon. And during that time, they boycotted the Sunday morning service and locked their pews so that no one could sit in them. He preached to the people in the aisles for 12 years. How did he last? In this state of things, he says, I saw no remedy but faith and patience. The passages of Scripture which subdued and controlled my mind was this: the servant of the Lord must not strive, or he must not fight. Faith and patience were the word that were rolling around in my mind. It was painful indeed to see the church, with the exception of the aisles, it was almost forsaken, but I thought that if God would only give a double blessing to the congregation that did attend, there would on the whole be as much good done as if the congregation were doubled and the blessings limited to only half the amount. This comforted me many, many times, when without such a reflection, I should have sunk under my burden. And then the person that's sharing the story says, where did he get the assurance that if he followed the way of patience, there would be a blessing on his work that would make up for the frustrations of having all the pews locked? He got it, no doubt, from the texts like Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, "Blessed are those that wait on the Lord, for they shall renew their strength." The word conquered unbelief, the word conquered unbelief, and belief conquered impatience. 54 years later, he was dying. It was October 1836. The weeks drug on, and as they have for many of our dying saints today who battle with impatience and a sense of unaccomplished things. He was laying on his bed. And his last words, I'm trying to find it here, his last words, he says this, "It was the infinite wisdom has arranged the whole with infinite love, and infinite power enables me to rest upon that love. I am in my dear Father's hands, and I am all secure. When I look to Him, I see nothing but faithfulness and immutability and truth, and I have the sweetest peace. I cannot have more peace." Those were his dying words. And I would like to say to us this morning, men like Charles Simeon, who never did see that congregation respond well to him, for 54 years, he preached faithfully. And he says, God was always faithful. He always has been. He used that. I'm at peace. So for us today, in the trials that we find ourselves, a continuance of faithfulness, a belief in God the Father, who is about your good and my good, is vastly important. Eternity hangs on it. Are you a person of patience this morning? Are you an impatient person? Is God trying to work in your life and you're not letting Him? Or have you found that sweet place where it's okay? Whatever God brings, I'm okay with. And I will allow Him to continue that. Maybe you're that kind of person. I think I could name a few here that I would think are there. And they're a challenge to me. Let's kneel for prayer.